This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross. Brian De Palma has been making films and generating controversy for more than 40 years. His work includes the thrillers Dress to Kill, Body Double, and Blowout, as well as Scarface, Mission Impossible, Snake Eyes, and his biggest miss, The Bonfire of the Vanities. De Palma's latest project is Redacted, a troubling war story set in Iraq. It's based on a 2006 incident in which a group of American soldiers raped a 14-year-old Iraqi girl, then murdered her and her family. The story is remarkably similar to De Palma's 1989 film Casualties of War, based on a rape and murder by American soldiers in Vietnam. In this scene from Redacted, a soldier who was in the unit but did not participate in the attack shares his feelings with his father, also a military man, in a video phone call.
Dad, something happened. Something really, really horrible. And you knew who was responsible. Isn't it your duty to say something?
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I didn't do a damn thing. A couple of my buddies...
Members of your squad?
Yes, sir.
I hope you realize how serious the situation could be.
Yes, I do realize.
We don't need another Abu Ghraib.
I understand that, sir, but...
I mean, if your brother's screwed up, that behavior reflects on the whole Corps.
There was a crime, sir. I think charges should be brought.
Son, listen to me. Do you know the first thing to come into question in a court-martial on a thing like this will be your sanity?
My sanity?
That's right. Your sanity for bringing charges like this.
In the incident Redacted is based on, four soldiers were prosecuted and sentenced to prison. A fifth, who is now a civilian, still faces charges. The film has received attention as much for an editing controversy as for its content. De Palma ends Redacted with actual photos of dead Iraqi civilians, but the producers of the film blacked out the eyes and some faces of the victims, citing concerns about potential lawsuits. De Palma publicly condemned the move, accusing the producers of redacting his film out of cowardice. I spoke to Brian De Palma earlier this week. Well, Brian De Palma, welcome back to Fresh Air. You're an accomplished visual storyteller, and it's interesting that in this film, the narrative is conveyed through a series of devices. I mean, a soldier's video journal, a French documentary, security cameras, which seem to capture some action. Why did you choose to do it that way?
Because that's how I found it. I was approached by HDNet to make a movie for $5 million on anything I wanted. It just had to be shot in high definition. So I said, that's fine if I could think of something that was best realized in high definition. And then I read about the incident that the movie is based on. And I said, my God, this is Casualties of War all over again. And I didn't want to use straightforward, dramatic, traditional storytelling techniques. And in the process of researching the material, I came across all these unique visualizations on the internet, whether they be blogs or websites or montage of casualties, soldiers' wives, postings, rants. I found all those forms on the internet, and I thought, well, this is the best way to convey this story, which I told before in Casualties of War.
Well, now you wrote and directed this film, which is based on this true incident of American soldiers who raped and murdered an Iraqi teenage girl. But, of course, how you choose to portray the GIs is a huge decision and very loaded given, you know, all of the opinions about, you know, American troops in Iraq. And I thought we'd listen to a clip from the film. This is a clip of a couple of soldiers. And this is captured on a security camera in the film. But the occasion is that one of a member of their unit has been blown to pieces by an IED, an improvised explosive device. And they're venting their fury and their reaction to this incident. Let's listen.
Man, they don't want to kill us over there in the good old U.S. of A. I mean, they do, but they can't. It's too f***ing hard right now. Man, they want to kill us here. On their turf. In their f***ing country.
Yeah.
Where every turn is the wrong turn!
Every single one of them knew where that IED was.
Damn right!
You don't see them stepping on it, do you? No. They just sit in their backyard drinking their tea, waiting for one of us to pull another
Thanks, Six. Leave
me
the
phone. Come on, boys.
Well, guess what? That ain't gonna happen no more. Hell no! There's gonna be one big bitch of a preemptive strike.
Yeah.
We're gonna be torching every last Johnny Jihad.
Later.
And there ain't gonna be nothing left but scorched earth.
And that's from the film Redacted, directed by my guest Brian De Palma. You know, I think that's probably a very different image than most people have of GIs serving in Iraq. I mean, I think most people think of service people there as kind of confronting a bewildering situation and just wanting to get home. Here we see a lot of rage directed at Iraqis. You know, there are atrocities in all wars. Do you think that this is a film about what war does to people in general or a particular kind of war?
Well, this is a war with no reason. And when you put soldiers in situations where they're fighting for no discernible reason, and the only thing that keeps them going is the fact that they're protecting their buddies, and then their buddies are killed by maybe one of those people out there that they don't understand, and they're not sure whether they're an insurgent or a civilian, this is where this kind of a rage erupts. But like Casualties of War, this particular story, as sorrowful as it is, to me, is basically what we do to these people. We destroy their country. We destroy them in order to what was the expression in Vietnam, destroy the village to save the village. This is what we've done, basically.
In your director's statement for Redacted, you said that when you'd read about this incident in Iraq where these soldiers raped and murdered this young girl and members of her family, you were very troubled by the question, how could these boys have gone so wrong? Where did you look for an answer to that question?
The question was answered in Casualties of War, and it was the same situation. It's not a difficult question to answer. Once you consider the circumstances under which these things happen. And the thing about my movie is it tries to show how, you know, basically decent individuals can go so wrong. But it also includes the fact that in situations like this, you need one wild card. You need one guy that is different than anybody else, that takes it much farther than any normal person would. And that is very much based on a lot of, you know, incidents I've studied over the years, whether they be in Cold Blood or the Oblonsky murders. I mean, you can't get a group of people to do something as horrendous as this unless you've got one sort of crazed leader.
Right, and in both films you see that. One,
yes.
One who...
And in this film it's even more extreme because the character from the actual incident was going to be, you know, removed from the army because he had psychological problems, and it also goes to the fact that they're recruiting people that they would not normally recruit.
You know, it was interesting when I looked back at some of the reaction of veterans groups to Casualties of War when you released it in 1989, and there was some negative reaction, but not all of it. And I wondered if any of the reaction that you received to that film affected the way you portrayed GIs in Redacted.
No, because I think it's essentially the same situation. You've got boys over there that don't know why they're there. When you're fighting a war and killing other people, you better have a very good reason. You're in a completely alien environment. You're like you're on Mars. You don't understand the culture. You don't understand the language. You don't understand the people. You're living in extremely hostile environment. The only thing that keeps you sane is the fact that you have other guys there with you. And then, of course, somebody gets killed right next to you, and then you just turn all your anger on the all those people out there that could be complicit in this particular catastrophe.
You know, one of the ways that in this film you show the interaction between GIs and Iraqi civilians is a very close and intimate look at a vehicle checkpoint, which the soldiers in this unit that you're following are operating. And you see these, you know, Iraqis arriving both on foot and in vehicles and how they're treated by the Americans. I'm wondering, if you could say a little bit about creating that scene in that checkpoint, where you drew that?
Well,
from?
That, of course, is based on stuff I saw posted on the internet in documentaries. And then there was a lot of information I had to convey about the statistics about what happens at these checkpoints. And of course, a lot of people are accidentally killed all the time. And I decided to convey this in this very stylized pseudo-French documentary because I wanted to slow everything down. Because one of the things that's difficult to do on film is to show how slow and boring everything is, because that's what happens when you're stationed at a checkpoint like this. It's endlessly boring, and it's hot, and it's uncomfortable. And you've got, over 100 pounds of equipment you're carrying around, and it's just an unbearable way of living day in and day out. And then suddenly something violent happens and everything goes crazy.
Right. Do you want to say a little bit about the incident that occurs on? I don't know if it gives away part of the plot.
That, of course, is based on numerous incidences at checkpoints where, in this case, a guy rushing his sister to the hospital can't understand the signs because many Iraqis are illiterate, don't understand people waving at them, to stop. They think, maybe that's high. And, he's trying to get to the hospital, and he crosses the trigger point, and he's immediately shot, and his pregnant sister is killed.
Right. And there's a moment after the killing at which the soldier who's keeping a video diary talks to the guy who had shot the young woman. And at that point, it's clear that it was a mistake and that an innocent person had been killed. And he asks him how he feels about it. And among the things he says, apart from using some racial insults to describe Iraqis in general, he says, it was like gutting catfish. Waxing hajis is like stomping cockroaches. It makes me thirsty.
Exactly material from the guy that was involved with it that I had to rewrite because I couldn't use his exact words.
You mean the guy that was involved in the murder and rape, the leader of
Absolutely.
This?
Right. Absolutely.
So you were really capturing a real sense. And I guess
I was constantly forced to change what the guy actually said because the guys were being prosecuted at the time, and I couldn't use their real quotes.
But they were,
I came up with something very similar to it.
But I guess one of my reactions as I sat in the film was, as I look at this as people who, in America, even people who hate the war support the troops, and we regard them as people who are doing their best to in a tough situation. And when they see a soldier behaving this way, talking, in such a sort of ruthlessly sadistic manner about the people he's interacting with, I can just see people saying De Palma is slandering our troops. Did that concern you at all?
Well, obviously you're going to get reactions like that, but the fact is that that's dialogue is absolutely quoted and changed, not to make it, more vicious or it doesn't. You don't have to change it to make it more vicious. What the guy said was vicious enough, and of course they referred to the Iraqis in pejorative terms. I mean, to have a pejorative name for, the people that you're fighting is not unusual amongst soldiers.
Right, right. No, it's more the sort of sadistic, almost pleasure that in which he talks about killing them. That I guess. And again,
well,
I don't.
He doesn't. He's offended by the way he's being sort of pushed around. He's being pushed by the moralist in the group. Hey, what am I supposed to feel? I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do, right? And we had a real sarge in the group there, and the sarge said, yeah, that's right. They cross the trigger point, you shoot them. That's what we're supposed to do, so go to bed and shut up.
Right, and it's wrong to say he took pleasure in it. It was more an indifference to it. I mean,
he doesn't know what he feels.
Right.
He's confused. I mean, he's a little sassy about it, because he's trying to be kind of masculine in front of the guys. But this is an evolving character during the piece. I mean, You know, and when he gets sort of, you know, cornered, then he sort of kind of lashes out.
Well, you know, you had a very public battle with the producers of the film Redacted about the still photographs which come at the end of the film, but before the credits. Tell us first what these pictures were and your purpose in putting them at the end of the film.
Well, again, this is something I discovered on the internet. If you put Iraq war casualties, you'll come up with these montages of very sorrowful pictures of, you know, people that have been killed, civilians, and with very sad music. And I said, my God, I got to put this in the movie. This is something that a form that I discovered on the internet. So then it occurred to me, well, why are only these pictures on the internet? Why haven't I ever seen them anywhere else? So I went to the people that were taking the photographs and I said, give me the pictures, you can't get published. And that's what became the montage. And the argument I got in with the company financing the movie is they knew right from the get-go that I was using real pictures. We got releases from the photographers. And, of course, some of the pictures in the montage are staged because they're not from actual incidences. There's, you know, the pregnant women, that picture staged, and obviously the picture of the girl at the end is staged. So I could have staged all the pictures if I knew that I couldn't use the real pictures, but I thought it was very important. I tried to use as much real material as I could, but I was constantly frustrated by the lawyers saying, well, you can't use that because we need, you know, releases from, you know, dead babies and relatives of dead babies. They sort of,
right,
you know, sprung that on me in the ninth hour when obviously somebody up in the company saw the real pictures that were available, I would say, from January. Somebody actually saw them around June and said, oh, my God, we can't have pictures like this in a movie we're producing. And that's when I got in the battle over the redaction of the pictures.
How did you learn there was a problem?
So I was told basically that the insurance would not cover the liability.
And your view is that there is no real legal issue here, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There is no real. I mean, we fought because I said I insisted that they violated my final cut, but we lost the case.
You know, this may be an utterly facile observation, but I wanted to get your reaction. I mean, when one looks at a lot of your earlier work, a lot of the thrillers that you made, they involved, you know, voyeurism and predatory violence towards women. And, you know, one might say, well, De Palma decides to make a film about the horrors of war, and what we see are two films about, you know, the murder and rape of a woman. Why were you drawn to these two stories?
This is a metaphor for our destruction of this country. We have raped and destroyed this country. That's the same thing we did to Vietnam. And then what do? We just leave.
You know, I just have to ask you this. I read that when you were a kid, that your mother asked you to do some surveillance work on your father because she suspected he was stepping out. Is this true?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And did you do it? What did you find? How did you do it?
I taped his phone conversations. I was a bit of a science whiz, a big science fair winner. And I used to follow him when he went to meet his girlfriend and take pictures.
Wow. So a piece of the of the voyeur filmmaker falls into place here. I mean, do you think that affected the movies? I mean, that...
Well, obviously your experiences affect the movies that you make. But, yeah, I made a movie, you know, Home Movies, that sort of takes this from a very comedic point of view. And tells the story of, you know, a young guy following his father around when he's having an affair.
Well, I feel like I've gotten into a really intrusive area, but I have to ask. So, what did you do with the pictures? What became of her concern?
I gave all the evidence But I finally discovered my father with the woman, and that was sort of the end of my mother's and her marriage. And fortunately, my father went on to marry the woman he was having an affair with, and they were together for like 40 years. And my mother remarried a very nice guy, and they were together until he died, and then she died. So it was good what happened. They shouldn't have been together, and they found people that they loved and shared a better life with afterwards.
Although I have to
say,
it
has a sort of happy ending,
right? Although it's kind of mind blowing for a teenager to be the agent of something like that.
Yes, it is. But you know, it was my mother was the one that sort of got me involved. It certainly wasn't something I dreamed up by myself.
Well, Brian De Palma, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Brian De Palma's new film, Redacted, is in selected cities now and will open across the country on Friday.